Hey everybody. I will share a little bit about where I came from, working the program, where I am today, and looking towards the future. So, Diane T, can you folks hear me okay? Just give me a thumbs up or something. Okay, good. Thank you. Diane T, grateful to be recovering from compulsive eating, and I am this September will be 6 years in program. Like many of us, I had a childhood riddled with trauma, and I sought a haven to escape. I found food, or rather, the food found me. I've often heard it said that food is my drug of no choice. Got it. It's part of my DNA. When I would eat sugar as a kid, I didn't understand. I just knew it had this effect on me besides it tastes good. I would just kind of get anesthetized. So it became a tool for me, a weapon, a safe haven. I'm going to fast forward and come back again. It was only when I came into program, I realized I would have had this addiction even if I had the most perfect childhood. It's part of my DNA. So, mostly sugar, some refined carbs. By the time I was 13, somehow I often hear for a lot of us magic numbers, especially women. I guess when I was entering puberty, my body was changing. And I have already had abhorred my body because I found it wasn't a safe place for me. Being sexually molested repeatedly in my sleep by my oldest brother. Physical violence at the hands of my father, et cetera, et cetera. You get it, right? The old violin. So when I was 13 and I saw my body changing, I detested it even more. So what did I do? Because I had this body dysmorphia. I still have it. I thought I was huge. I would not eat for days and days at a time. And then I'd eat. And then a couple of years later, I discovered bulimia. Whoa, what a concept. Eat anything I want, vomit, not gain any weight. So I oscillated back and forth between binging, vomiting, not eating for days on end, and the mental health, the progression of the disease continuing, 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 ripening. Eventually, my throat became so damaged, my esophagus, that God graced me with abstinence from vomiting. I could not vomit today if my life depended on it. I have Barrett's esophagus and mega esophagus. I'll take it. I'll take it. Over the years, I try to do so many of the things that many of us have done in program. Crazy adventure travel, thrill-seeking ventures, transferring my addiction to whatever boyfriend at the moment, taking herbal appetite suppressants. When I couldn't vomit enough food, I would just make myself get outside and run for miles and miles and miles. Abuse. If I have time, I'll go back to the GI surgeries I had, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. I had a near-death experience 6 years ago this month, and it was a result of this eating disorder. I believe that God speaks to me. He first whispers, and if I'm not listening, he'll speak louder. If I'm still not listening, he will scream. If I'm still not listening, he will whack me in the back of the legs with a 2x4. And that's what he did for me 6 years ago. And that was, as they say, the gift of desperation that brought me into program. I developed septic peritonitis. I was on and off life support in a hospital for 2 months and then in a nursing home. And the surgeon to this day still says he didn't expect me to live. He just giggles and says I'm his miracle. So every day for me is a blessing. Now, 2 weeks after I got home from the nursing home with tubes still hanging out of my abdomen, they had cut me open with the Thanksgiving turkey to take out my intestines, wash them out, clip them, throw them back in. 2 weeks later, when I got home after the nursing home, I wanted to eat everything. I dropped to my knees, emaciated, osteoporotic, weak, barely able to stand up. And I said, God, I can't believe after all this, I still want to eat. And I'm not talking broccoli, I'm talking crazy amounts of sugar. And I just prayed and said, what would you have me do? Because I'd rather die. I'd rather die. I went through pain that I didn't think even was humanly possible until I got medical help. One of the things that came to me was, you know what, Di? Maybe try OA again. I had gone into a few meetings some 15 years back, but when I heard the part about fessing up my wrongs and then making amends, that scared me to death. I saw myself as being naked in front of a firing squad in a blizzard, and I ran out of the rooms. But after this death debacle, I just said, okay, I'm happy to check it out. Bring it on, because anything you want me to deal with now, God, is nothing compared to what I went through. Absolutely nothing. I mean, the pain was so horrific that until I was able to get medical help, I actually tried to take my life because I couldn't live. And I think I'm a tough girl. Trek around the Amazon by myself with a 75-pound backpack on, break limbs, all that nonsense. Nothing compared to this. But that's what God needed me to experience. So I came into the rooms of OA around mid-September 2018. And from that first meeting, there was somebody there who was so wonderful, welcoming, lovely, warm, just beaming with God's light. And I felt so warm and welcomed. I started going to that meeting, checking out other meetings, heard people share my story, saw how I didn't have to be a victim, saw the experience strength and hope on others who had gotten into recovery. When I came into program, I thought, I've got a problem with food, but the problem, I knew the problem was up here because there was always this demon in me battling with me to eat the food. And then it would hold me at gunpoint to eat the food. And then if I ate the food, it would hold me at gunpoint in punishment for what I did. So I was in a mental hell. I also thought when in the first several meetings, we're talking about dealing with our defects of character. Boy, was I green. I thought my only defect was I was a little impatient. I had no idea. No idea. And it's today, constantly working on my character defects and becoming as holy, healthy, and humble as I can possibly be, that's my eye on the prize, to be as close to God as He would have me be. Page 77 of the big book, the third line is my favorite line. And I think, for me anyway, the theme of the book, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Amen. I always wanted to, but I was so hamstrung by this disease, I would do it in fits and starts. And I know some of you have heard me before, so forgive me for repeating this, but I think it's worthy of repeating. Ancient Greek philosopher once said there's four levels of joy. The first, or the most primary, is satiating the senses. The second is accomplishment. The third on the hierarchy is philanthropy, and the fourth is union with God. That's my happy place. That's my happy place. Union with God through service, doing what He would have me do. My favorite saint once said, "I am greedy for grace." And I gotta tell you, when I heard that, not from him, he's dead a long time now, but when I saw that written, I said, "Oh, thank you, God. Now I don't have to feel guilty," because that fills me. When God is speaking to me and I am open, and my heart lights up, my soul lights up, and I'm infused with his energy, and I know what he wants me to do, and I go about doing it, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. So I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. I do 10 steps early and often, not just at the end of the day. I don't want anything, any harms done others, fear, resentment piling up on me, so that by the end of the day or the next morning to do an inventory, it might be too late. I might want to be in the food or in the food. So I'll give you an example. Walk in the path of humility. I'm Christian. I go to confession every week. And of course, for me, sharing my 10th step with someone, the fifth step of that is like going to confession. And as I tweak and go through what's going on with me, oftentimes the 10 steps are small, but you know what? To me, they're enough that I want it out of the way, because I am greedy for God's grace. I don't want anything, not the slightest ripple, to be between me and God. So here's a perfect example. This weekend, a friend of mine in the building went away and asked me to take care of her cat. Of course, I'm cat crazy. My photo is right there in the encyclopedia next to that name. Took care of the cat, rifled a little through a fridge and cabinets, ate a few ounces of her peanut butter. Thought about it today and said, "You know what, Di? Not your food. You didn't ask her, and she didn't offer." And I'm like, "Oh, it's just a little." And plus, I gave her things. I'm like, So what did I do? I went out, bought her a jar of peanut butter, and when she comes home later, I'm going to knock on her door and say, "Welcome back. I'm sorry I ate some of your peanut butter. I was wrong. Here you go. Receipts there if you want to get a different one." Humbling, humbling. But that's what God wants for me. And that's the challenge that I want to step up to become closer to him. Step 11, prayer and meditation. Each morning when I wake up, I pray and meditate. I meditate for about half an hour, and then I pray. It's something like an hour and a half, although please, I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not on my knees in reverie. I wish I were. I'm doing things like praying and making breakfast, taking care of the cats, stretching, getting ready to go to church on my bike, and grabbing food to go feed the feral cats that I take care of. And then I cycle to church, I attend mass, I pray some more. So it's prayer and meditation. And again, at various parts during the day, I stop and pray. So important for me, because there's my will and God's will. And I find that I need to constantly be reaching out to God. What would you have me do? What would you have me say? So that at night, when I put my head down, there's no deed left undone, no word left unsaid. Step 12, my wheelhouse, service, 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 service. Doing God's will, again, being of maximum benefit to God and the people about us. Service often speaks to me through, like I said, when God tells me something and I light up. That's when I know it's something he wants me to do. So currently in service, and I devote my life full time these days to service. I retired after this death debacle 6 years ago. So I'm currently vice chair of the virtual region, also a floating editor and writer there, liaison to the Professional Info Public Outreach Unity with Diversity Committee. Where I live physically is Westchester. So I'm one of the chairs of the Westchester United Intergroup. I do a bunch of service there. And the New York City Intergroup, Greater New York Metro, I do plenty of service positions there. I also have at least half a dozen sponsees. I live for service because I want to be God's hands, his eyes, his ears. I want to do what he wants me to do. That makes me happy, makes me totally happy, happiest I can ever be. I had a surreal experience this week. The 25th was the anniversary of my near-death experience, and the 28th was my 63rd birthday. On the 25th, as it happens more often than not on the anniversary, I am struck with more gratitude than I am on a day-to-day basis of everything I went through, how God saw it fit to get me home from Mexico, to get me into a hospital, to get a doctor, a surgeon to work on me, even though he was out the door ready to go to vacation in Greece. Ironic, where all my family's from. And then a few days later, being with about 10 members of my family who wanted to celebrate with me for my birthday, which is not something that happens often. It's usually just a hey, happy birthday. And just being with everyone and feeling their love was overwhelming, beautiful. I mean, such an incredible gift. So, since I have about a minute and a half, oh, okay, and looking towards the future. Whatever God has in store for me. I think I have a few ideas, but I will defer to him as I can feel and hear his will and constantly polishing and honing my tools in recovery. Like I said today, the peanut butter thing, even 2 years ago in program, I don't think I would have done that. But I tell myself, keep your eyes on the prize, Diane. Union with God. Amends is between me and God. Any kind of reconciliation would be between me and another person. So this is all about me and God. Yeah, so let me just share one more. So last summer, I went kayaking with a good friend of mine and his kids. And when I had managed his health club some 35 years ago, I stole money from him. I never said anything. I never gave it back. But what did I do? Kill him and his family with generosity. And I tell myself, Diane, time to clean it up. Have courage. Your friend might not want to have anything to do with you anymore, but that's not the point. Eye on the prize, amends closer to God. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And after we all went kayaking, I kept it very simple as I tend to do. I know I have about 15 seconds left. And I said,
I'm sorry,
when
we
I
have
worked,
1 minute left.
thank you. When I worked for you, I stole from you and I'm sorry. And I gave him an envelope with the check. And his reaction was fantastic. But these are the kinds of things that come up for me that give me opportunities to work on humility and to be closer to God. Thank you for letting me share.